Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide episode 42. Hello and welcome to the podcast that will keep you updated and educated about the latest consumer tech news and reviews. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. Now, on this week's program, we've been inspired by Adam Scott's historic win in the US Masters, and we'll actually talk about a gadget that can help improve your golf game. We'll also take a look at the new and affordable Nokia Lumia 520 smartphone, the Asus Transformer AIO, and the Clip Bar and Restaurant Tab app. Very interesting app, that one. In the Tech Guide news, we'll look at the rise in e-reading. We'll also look at ways of staying connected on our rail network. And we'll also look at the latest rumblings and give our views about the NBN. And we'll finish off with your questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's get cracking. Well, we were up early this morning tracking the US Masters, the Australians in the US Masters. We're recording this on a Monday night. We were up early Monday morning, and it was interesting to see the Aussies in the field. Of course, the eventual winner, Adam Scott, we were also well represented by Jason Day and Mark Leishman. But it was Adam Scott, of course, who went through and scored a historic victory, the first Australian ever to win the US Masters, one that coveted green jacket that's eluded our golfers since the US Masters was first held more than 70 years ago. So we're in a very celebratory mood, you could say, here at Tech Guide. And so much so, we were actually inspired. We've been eyeing off a golf product here. I actually write a golf column for the Golf Digest magazine. And one of the products that caught my eye was actually a putting analyzer. Now, this is from a company called Three Bays GSA, and it's a tiny little device that looks like an enlarged tee, but it's actually a 9-axis sensor that fits in the top of the putter's grip. Now, once there's a line that is aligned with the line of your putt, so there's a green line that runs across the face of the analyzer. And once that is set up in line with the way that you putt, then it can deliver all kinds of data about your putting and things like angle, tempo, backswing, downswing speed, impact speed, speed path distance, face angle, all of these little moving parts of the putt that this device can actually analyze. And the beauty of it is it links to your smartphone using Bluetooth. So the putting analyzer can provide in real time that information. So if you're practicing your putting, you can actually look on your tablet or smartphone, works on iPhone and Android and iPad. You can look in real time at the data that it's presenting. So if your face angle is a little bit wrong, or your speed is a bit too quick, the tempo not right, this will give you proper analysis of your putt. Now, anyone who's a golfer will tell you putting is a huge part of golf. It's 40% of the game. So if you can improve any part of that, it makes sense that is a great place to target if you are looking for improvement, if you're a golfer wanting to shave a few strokes off your game. As we saw today with Adam Scott, two birdie putts meant the difference between him walking away with the green jacket and being the runner-up. On the 18th, he birdied quite a lengthy putt. And then on the second playoff hole, which was the 10th at Augusta, he sank that amazing birdie putt that sealed the victory. So, as we know, putting, very important part of the game. A single degree can mean the difference between the ball in or out of the cup. In Adam Scott's case, thankfully, the degrees were right. The ball went in the cup. He had the birdie, and Australia has finally got a US Masters winner. If you're serious about your golf and you want to improve your game, the Three Bays GSA Putting Analyzer is a great way of doing it. It's $199.99 US plus shipping, not sold locally here yet, but you can order it through the website. You can read my full report if you, and there's also images of the app and the device itself and how it works at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Moving away from golf to smartphones, let's talk about the Nokia Lumia 520. Now, this was announced a little while ago, but Nokia have now announced that it is now available in Australia. And the best part about that news, apart from the fact that it is actually available, is the price. It's quite an affordable device. Now, before I give away the price, I'll tell you a little bit about the product itself. Now, it's got a 4-inch screen, 1 gigahertz dual core Snapdragon processor. The device itself is just 9.9 millimeters thick, weighs only 124 grams. Now, you have to remember the Lumia range of products from Nokia run the Windows Phone 8 operating system. Not Android, not iPhone, but the Windows 8 system is very rapidly growing, very underrated system. I've said that in the past and I'll say it again here now. There's a growing number of apps that are already available as well. The standout feature for Windows Phone 8 and the Lumia 520 is the fact you can have the live tiles on the home screen. So the apps that you pin to your home screen, in the case of, for example, of the Facebook app or a messaging app, if you do get a message, you can actually read the message in the live tile so that you don't have to actually open the app. The information is constantly updated and there at a glance for you to view. But that's just one of the features of the Lumia 520. Apart from having the Phone 8 operating system, it's also got a 5-megapixel camera with autofocus, can shoot 720p video at 30 frames per second as well. And it's also got 8 gig of internal memory, can support micro SD cards up to 64 gigs. So if you want to carry around a lot of your files, your music, those kinds of things, you can. You also get, being a Windows Phone 8, you get free 7 gig of SkyDrive cloud storage. So if you're one of these people who needs to have access to their documents, you can do so using SkyDrive. Speaking of documents, you also get the mobile version of the Microsoft Office suite of applications. We're talking Outlook, Excel, PowerPoint, and Word. So if you do use these a lot on your desktop and you need access to them on the go, then the Lumia 520 is but one of the many of the Lumia range that can give you these documents, access to these documents through the SkyDrive that puts them at your fingertips. So keeps you connected to that workspace if you do need to. Now, finally, I should reveal a price. I have mentioned it's affordable. It's priced at $229. Now, that's if you want the unlocked version of the phone. Will work on any network, $229. If you're happy being on the Telstra network, there's a Telstra prepaid version also, $179 if you want to be part of the Telstra network and you can put a prepaid or BYO, Freedom Connect plan, I think their BYO SIM plans are called. But that is less, but it is less because it's locked to the Telstra network. Now, they're going to be available from all phones, Dick Smith, Harvey Norman, and JB for the unlocked versions. There will be select retailers who will be stocking the Telstra version, mainly Telstra resellers, of course, and the Telstra stores. So it's $179 for the Telstra version of the Nokia Lumia 520. You want to check out some images and read my report? You can do so at techguide.com.au. Moving along to computers now, Asus, a well-known computer company, last week unveiled an interesting desktop PC. It's called the Transformer AIO. Now, AIO, not many people would know, knew this at the time, it stands for all-in-one. And a good way to describe it, because it's a desktop PC running Windows 8 and looks like every other desktop PC you may see. It's got an 18.4 inch screen, a desktop stand, wireless keyboard and mouse. But there is one major difference. There is a handle on the back of the screen. The reason there's a handle is that you can lift the screen away and off the desktop stand and use it separately as an Android tablet. So there's a switch on the side that switches from Windows Phone, Windows 8, I should say, when it's in the desktop mode, and then you can switch to Android mode when it's in the tablet form. Now, it's a gigantic tablet. It's 18.4 inches of tablet, and this can be carried around the house. It's got its own Wi-Fi. It's got its own. It's even got its own processors, the tablet portion of the device, the screen. So you can carry this around the house, play games. You can look at documents. You can watch movies, and you can not only just rest it in your lap. There's also a flap stand that pops out of the back of the screen, so you can rest it on a table. And it's handy if you want to take your work around the house with you and view it a lot more comfortably. Meanwhile, back at the desktop stand, though, it might not have a screen, but it's still actually a computer. Now, obviously, you'll need to connect an external monitor to the desktop, the stand or the station that's left there. The station also features a DVD drive. So you can connect an ASUS or any kind of monitor, I should say, to a monitor to the ASUS desktop station. And then you've got a fully fledged, fully powered Windows 8 PC. So it's not, there won't be, if someone takes your screen, they're not actually hogging the computer. You can connect an external monitor and still be able to do some work. The desktop station comes with Intel i5 or i7 processor, so it can handle pretty demanding, pretty high-end applications, so it's pretty fully specced device. Now, the tablet, though, has got its own quad-core processor as well. The tablet portion is running Android 4.1, and being such a large screen, it's got another feature called 10-point multi-touch, so multiple people, up to 10 points of contact on the screen at any one time, so it's big enough to play games with several hands on the screen. The 10-point multi-touch has allowed that. It's a very versatile product. It's only going to be available through Harvey Norman. I think they've got a exclusive period where they can sell it through their stores. It's going to be priced from $1,999. It will cost more if you want to spec up the processor maybe to an i7, or you may want more RAM or a larger hard drive. That's up to you how you want to configure it. But all in all, it's a handy device to have and something that the whole family can use. So it works as a tablet, works as a desktop. If you've got a spare monitor, it's actually a second computer as well. So pretty handy one for the whole family. Keep the whole family happy. You want to take a look at some pictures? There's plenty of images there on my story at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear. Are there any Wi-Fi black spots in your home? Well, now you can enjoy improved Wi-Fi coverage on your Wi-Fi devices, such as tablets and smartphones, throughout your home with Netgear's new dual-band Wi-Fi range extender. The WN3500RP will boost dual-band Wi-Fi to the backyard or upstairs bedroom and wirelessly stream music to your connected audio systems with AirPlay on an iPhone or iPad or on Android devices using the Netgear Genie app and DLNA. Find out how to boost your Wi-Fi at netgear.com.au/boost-my-Wi-Fi.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, anyone who's started a bar tab will tell you that it's that what's involved is leaving your credit card behind the bar. And what happens is that the people behind the bar, the bartenders, can, if you want to add more drinks and food to your tab, they simply get your card, charge it, and then you build up a tab that you settle at the end of the night. Now, this has been going on for many years, and it has its advantages and plenty of disadvantages. The fact that your credit card is sitting behind the bar the whole night, and then settling up your bill at the end of the night involves you having to queue up. If it's a busy night, you've got to queue up and sign the receipt, get your card back, and all those sorts of things. Well, there was some people out there who thought there was a better way to do it, and the better way is using an app called Clip. Now, it's spelled C-L-I-P-P. Now, that is short for Money Clip, one of the co-founders actually told me. How it works is that you simply go to your venue, you open up the Clip app and actually check into that venue. That venue will show up on the Clip app if they are participating, if their point of sale system is linked to the Clip app. In our case, we tried it at the White Horse in Surry Hills. There's around 70 venues at the moment, and it's expanding by the day. And what you do is, if that venue does actually show up on Clip, you check in. And this before this, you would have already registered your details, your credit card, all your details securely stored, by the way, using the PayPal system. And what happens then, once you've checked in, you're assigned a tab number. So your bar tab number pops up on your smartphone, works on iPhone, Android. It's coming soon to Windows Phone 8, but also it works on the BlackBerry system. You get your bar tab number. You simply show that to the person behind the bar. That number should correspond with a number they have on their point of sale system, the POS system. And once that's established, then you can order away your food, your drink, and so on. And what it allows you to do too is to monitor the size of your tab. So if you're halfway through the night, you can see how much you've already committed to the tab, how much you've spent. You can even see an itemized bill, so you can see how many drinks you've had, how much food you've eaten, and keep track of it like that. Now, the most attractive part of it for anyone who's ever run a tab and had to wait at the end of the night to settle up is that when you are ready to go, there is a one button that closes it all down. It close all tabs. And what that does, it ends the tab at the bar, it registers the point of sale system, the tab is now closed, and it then reserves that amount on your credit card. Now, Clip actually takes their money out of your credit card, and then Clip then pays the venue. So your credit card is charged. When you leave, you're also emailed a receipt of what you've spent, itemized bill, all your drinks, your food, so you can see exactly how much you've spent. You can even choose to leave a tip. A little slide tool then allows you to do that. You can even set yourself a limit, a spend limit. If you only want to spend, say, $200 on the night, you can do that using Clip, and it will tell you once you've approached that limit, and actually once you've reached the limit. So it's a good way to put a cap on that. Another advantage is that you don't have to wait in line at the end of the night. And how many people, after having a big night out, actually forget to take their credit card home? So it's handy not only for the users, but also for the venues, the waiters and waitresses who have to ring people up and say, you've left your credit card here, or try to balance the till and get all the receipts signed and organized. It does save them a lot of time. It also saves them time with each transaction. Each time, in the traditional way where they have to scan a credit card, that actually takes up about 25% of the time that you spend at the bar. So imagine taking that 25% out of that time. It gives the bar staff more time to sell drinks, more time to sell food, and just makes their whole night go a little bit quicker. So plenty of advantages there for Clip. We had a chat with the co-founder when we tried out the app the other night at the White Horse. The Clip co-founder we spoke to was Greg Taylor. Now, he's got some experience in the smartphone space. He actually created the eCoffee card. That's the app that can keep track of all your cafe loyalty cards. So rather than you having to punch the card, you actually scan the barcode at the store, at the cafe, and it keeps track of the number of coffees you've drunk. And when it's time for a free one, you can just show the screen to the cafe and they give you a free coffee. Now, he was telling me that he got the idea for Clip when he walked into a cafe on the Sunshine Coast, which had a small poster advertising the e-coffee card. But someone had defaced the poster and replaced the word e-coffee with e-kebab. And he thought, well, that is interesting, because if you can order food using the same app, and that got the wheels turning in his head to create Clip, which are with the product that we now know as Clip, where you can start your bar tab, pay for everything on using the app, not even having to get the credit card out of your wallet because it's already registered in the back end. A great idea, the Clip app. If you don't want to leave your credit card behind the bar but still want to run a tab, this is the 21st century way of doing it. So check that out. You can read my full review and see what the app looks like at techguide.com.au.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
We are kicking off. We're actually doing the news at the back end of the podcast this week, and I did want to open up pretty strong with Adam Scott, hence the reason why we did the reviews at the top of the program. Anyway, we're at the news portion right now, and we're going to open up with e-reading. A report was released recently showing that e-reading, no real surprise, is on a dramatic rise. Now, the reason we say that is because a report from the Pew Research Center shows that 21% of Americans have read at least one ebook in the past 12 months. Now, it does show that that Kindles and other e-readers, devices of that sort, smartphones, tablets, we are using these to read our content, whether it's books, newspapers, magazines. But in the case of books, and we're dedicated devices, devices are being given as gifts. It was pretty obvious that Christmas was a huge time for gifts for Kindles and other e-readers, because those same figures that before Christmas in mid-December said that 17% of Americans had read an e-book. But then after Christmas, when the new figures were taken in mid-February, that figure had jumped up 4% to 21%. So it just shows to show there were plenty of people who received under the Christmas tree an e-reader, including the popular Kindles from Amazon. Now, the report also pointed out a few things about the average number of books that a reader will consume. Now, on average, an e-reader, so that's someone consuming books using an e-reader, they average 24 books a year, while traditional book readers, so the people who read printed books, get through 15 books in the same 12-month period. According to the report, 42% of all e-books are read on a computer, which was surprising, 41% on an e-reader, so it's like a Kindle, 29% on a smartphone, and 23% on a tablet. I think the tablet and smartphone are growing slightly, as are the e-readers. But it is an eye-opener when you come to think that that the number of people who are now preferring an e-book over the traditional printed books. Now, I don't think printed books are going to go anywhere. I'm a big fan of printed books. There's furniture designed to hold them. They're called bookshelves. I don't think they're going to go anywhere soon. There's still going to be a huge demand for them, but it does look good for the e-reading. And you look at the world of publishing. The world of publishing, it takes on a certain risk. In the traditional printing sense, where publishers have to take a risk with an author, they think, well, if we do a print run of, say, 10,000 books, will they sell? Well, in this day and age with e-publishing, the risk has been lowered dramatically, so that rather than having 10,000 books in a warehouse that may not sell, publishers can take a chance on an author and give them publish their book. And having said that, authors can also self-publish. It's very easy to self-publish a book now in the e-book world because there is no need to print warehouses full of books, no need to distribute the books either, because they're simply downloaded from one place. So it has really dramatically changed the whole publishing industry. Books are still going to be there. E-books are on the rise, and this is something that we are using across all our devices, not just our e-readers, but also smartphones and tablets. Interesting reading. If you want to check out all those facts and figures, you can do so at techguide.com.au. Now, anyone who has caught a train, especially in Sydney, and one thing that people do as soon as they get on the train, they've got a bit of a journey ahead of them, the first device they pull out is their smartphone. Let's face it, we're just talking about our smartphone in the previous segment being our book. A lot of people read, a lot of people browse the web, a lot of people use apps. But one thing in common with all of those things is that you need a network for that to happen. Now, one frustration for commuters, especially in Sydney around in the city area, is that once they enter those tunnels, their reception cuts out. Well, not anymore. It was announced just this week, just today actually, that Telstra, among the other and the other operators, have completed the second stage of their expansion on the rail network. The first one was completed in July last year. That looked at the North Shore and Western lines. But the latest expansion looked at the city circle, the very historic city circle that includes stations like Museum, St. James, Martin Place. So those places, those tunnels, those stations that are underground in the tunnels where previously you could not get a signal, you wouldn't be able to connect to the cellular network. Well, now that is not the case. You can stay connected through your entire journey, so there's no need to not make that call or to not browse the web or use that app or finish that book, because it's all there. There is a connection now for you to use. Now, this is part of a further expansion on the rail network. Telstra and the other operators have brought 3G and 4G to the city circle and the surrounding lines. The next stage, though, is going to be the eastern suburbs line through Martin Place and Bondi is the next stage where they're going to improve reception on the network. So just about anywhere you go on the rail network now within Sydney, you're still going to have reception, which is good news, especially if people are going into work and coming home of an evening. They do want to have that connection to make the trip go a little bit faster. Now, there has been a lot said about the NBN in the past week since the Coalition unveiled their plans, their NBN plans. Mostly the comparisons have been inevitable. The Coalition, just to sum it up really quickly, aiming for a fibre to the node plan, whereas Labor's plan for the NBN is to bring fibre to each and every household, at least 93% of homes, schools and businesses around Australia. That's going to be called fibre to the home. So the major difference, of course, is the Coalition plan, while being cheaper and while being faster to complete, will still rely heavily on the existing copper network, which will result in slower speeds. Now, the NBN under the Labor plan is promising, obviously, fibre to the home, which is promising speeds of up to 100 megabits per second, which is way quicker than what many people get now. There are some people, including myself, who have cable plans on with Optus. I know other people who want Telstra plans, and they've got the speed boost plans, and I already get over 100 megabits per second when there's not much traffic on the line, but I average 50, 60 megabits per second anyway. But under the Coalition plan, copper, they're saying by the end of their first term, should they get elected in September, will we get 25 megabits per second with a possible boost to 50 megabits per second at the end of their second term. So that's in 2019. But the main criticism has been the fact that they're creating fibre to the node and then reverting to an older technology to bring the internet to our doorstep. Now, the main reason behind it is it was for cost. Now, under the Coalition plan, they're saying that they're going to save $17 billion, so $20.4 billion against the Labor's $37.4 billion plan. We're talking $17 billion. There's been many people saying, look, you build it once, let's just do it properly the first time. But as Malcolm Turnbull pointed out, money here, if money were no object, of course they would build fibre to every home. But unfortunately, money, the $17 billion has got to come from somewhere, and somewhere they may not have that money, may have planned that for other parts of their plans, for schools, highways, hospitals, who knows where. But they thought that saving that $17 billion now would look a lot better on the books. Now, the disadvantage of that, apart from the slower speed, and 25 megabits per second, it should be pointed out, is actually five times more than what we're experiencing right now. So it is a bit of a bump. Not up to 100 megabits per second, but I think 100 megabits per second is kind of like cracking an egg with a sledgehammer. That's a lot of speed, and not everyone's going to need 100 megabits per second. In fact, most people won't need 100 megabits per second. Tony Abbott commented, he said 25 megabits per second should be enough for every household. It will be enough. Some will want more. But I think the current thinking now is that under Labor's plan, it's like someone wanting to buy a Ferrari, but willing to spend money on a Ferrari, but they can only afford a Holden. I think that's sort of kind of the Coalition's view at the moment, is that yeah, everyone wants the Ferrari, but in reality, we've only got enough money to buy a Holden or maybe a nicer car, so we can't go the whole hog. But maybe in the future we can. Now, here's where the problems may arise. Fibre to the node connecting to a copper network into the future, there's going to be higher maintenance costs. Now, the copper network is in still pretty good shape. Telstra, I wrote a story on Tech Guide about it. Telstra are saying that the faults on their line are very minimal. There's only like 1% of faults per year. So the copper lines are still in working order. Obviously, the copper lines that are in disrepair or non-existent are going to be replaced by fibre under the Coalition plan anyway. But that is one downside, that the maintenance cost into the future may be a bit higher. And eventually, we're going to want to get fibre to the home anyway. So they're going to have to find the money in the future for that. But I think they may throw that to private enterprise, businesses. If you want fibre connected to your front doorstep, you pay for it. Pay for it to come from the node to your house. There's maybe people who don't want the fibre to their home. And if they don't want it, then they don't have to pay for it. Under the Labor plan, you're going to get it whether you want it or not. And then everyone's going to have to pay for it anyway. If they don't want it, it's still going to be our taxes. They're going to pay for it anyway. So we're in a situation where we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. And I can see the merit in both. I think neither have got it completely right. I reckon there's a combination of the two. I think wireless is something that we're ignoring. wireless technology is going to go a long way by the time the NBN is finished in the next by 2019. Wireless technology is going to go improve so quickly. We're already seeing with 4G alone now that you can get 54 megabits per second on 4G using my smartphone. So that's even faster than what the Liberals are planning, the Coalition is planning over copper using the NBN. There's technology that exists already. I think wireless technology has been underplayed here, and I think the $11 billion that Telstra was given when the government bought the copper network from them is being, no doubt in my mind, being spent on developing technology to compete against the NBN down the track. 5G, 6G, up to who knows what, where wireless is going to get faster and upload, download speeds are only going to get quicker. So that's something I think that needs to be looked at as well. The NBN, I think it's something that we're going to be talking about right up until the election. Personally, I don't think the election, it's going to decide the election. I think the polling figures show that Labor is pretty much not looking too healthy for the September election. I don't think the NBN is going to decide the election. There may be some people who do decide to vote for Labor on the strength of their NBN plan. I can't see that, though, winning them the election. So come September, if the Coalition do take office, then we'll have to see how well we can cope with their NBN plans. But I'm sure down the track you'll find that private enterprise will jump in and bring that fibre from the node to your front door. We could talk about this all day, but unfortunately I can't. The NBN, it's a topic we're going to be talking about for many, many months and years to come.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
One question I get asked very often, especially when I'm on the radio, I'm on with Chris Smith on 2GB every Wednesday, get a lot of callers coming through asking about phones for seniors. Now, by seniors, I mean older men and women who just want a simple phone. They don't want anything too complicated. They want a phone that is easy to use, got the large, easy-to-read buttons, easy-to-read screen, and that's what they're looking for. Now, there are two that I have mentioned. The first is the Doro Phone Easy 615. Now, this is a flip phone that has very large buttons. It's got large buttons with large numbers. It's also got a large screen with large text so that your messages and the numbers appear on the screen and are big enough for you not even to wear glasses. The 615's got a 3.2 megapixel camera as well. Basically designed for simple calling, texting. It's not a smartphone. It's not going to run apps. It's not going to do anything like that, but very simple and easy to use. It's $165. We believe it is still available through Optus stores and Big W, the Doro Phone Easy 615. The other phone that caught our eye too, that's a great device for seniors, is from Telstra. The Telstra Easy Call 2. The Easy Call 2 has big buttons as well, large font for easy dialing. It's also got hearing aid compatibility, so you can actually tune your hearing aid into the phone as well. It's got a dedicated FM radio switch as well, calendar, organizer, built-in torch. So it's pretty simple calling, texting. That's only $99. It's obviously a Telstra prepaid device, so you need to be on the Telstra network for that one. So phones for seniors, look, everyone is needing a smartphone. Everyone needs to be contactable, and seniors are no different, I think. And look, if just because there are phones for seniors doesn't mean they have to use these kinds of phones. There's plenty of seniors, older users that are jumping into an iPhone or an Android device and just really jumping in and deciding to learn this stuff and using the apps, using the device as best they can to stay in touch and use it to the modern way of communication. I think I admire those users who are not scared to get in there and have a go and have a try. But for those who want something a little bit more simple, there are these devices as well. Mobiles for seniors, the Doro Phone Easy 615, the Telstra Easy Call number 2. Well, that's our show for another week. If you want to read more about anything you've heard in this episode, you can head to our website, techguide.com.au. You can get in touch by emailing us as well at info@techguide.com.au. You can also send us your help desk questions to the Tech Guide forum. You might want an opinion. You may have a problem with a device. You need some help doing certain things with your device, and hit the Tech Guide forum. Myself and many of my readers will jump in and answer your question as best we can, and it may even be read out here on the Tech Guide podcast. And a special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. That's full time for Tech Guide episode 42. Thanks for listening. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.